definitely good to be here. I appreciate everyone for making their way out here tonight. I want to thank Pat for driving from Alabama and coming to this discussion. I honestly don't think that there's a more capable debater. And we may take that humility, but I don't think that there is on this topic. Well, I'm going to as well. You're to be commended too, Pat Steele. You know, you chose to come out here on a Saturday night to study the Bible. You could be many other places, but you chose to do that because you believe that, like you said, it makes a difference. Doctrine does make a difference. And we take heed to the doctrines that we preach to save ourselves and others here when we do that. I want to make it known that I use the Hebrew name Yahweh for the Father. I use that frequently when I speak. And the original given name of the Messiah, Yeshua, and who is the name of Jesus. So don't stumble over that. That's a conviction of mine that I have. And once again, this is a Bible discussion, not a content past head. We both want the truth, and we want you to have the truth. I want you to listen very carefully as we're talking, because the gate is straight to heaven. The way is narrow. Only few will find the gate. You need to be very careful in what you believe. Your salvation depends upon you. You're going to start. On my first chart, I want to go ahead and affirm that I believe that Yeshua is called God. But you know, that's not what the debate is about tonight. It's not. Pat's passages can be put in one of two categories. Most of the passages he uses them wrongly. They're talking about the Father. There's a small minority of the passages that he uses that are referring to Yeshua. And they do call him God. I have no problem saying with Thomas in John 20:28, my Lord and my God. Or the Father calling him God, Theos, in the Greek language. There's no problem there with that at all. I even believe John 1:18, in the most ancient Greek manuscripts, uses the Greek term monogenes Theos, the only begotten God, or the unique God. The New American Standard Bible will have it written that way. So Yeshua is called God. You'll find no argument from me there. You will not. On the left side of this chart, we have 58 times, and this is not all of the time, but we have 58 times where he's called the Son of God. Now, this is as to his identity. All throughout the New Testament, the emphasis is not upon him being God, as Pat has ably tried to prove tonight. The emphasis is on him being the Son of God, all through the New Testament. For instance, not only does the Father call Yeshua God in Hebrews 1:8, but if we raise the chart up here on the bottom, we find that the Father called Moses God. In Exodus 7, verse 1. As a matter of fact, the Hebrew word is Elohim. It's the same identical word used of God, of Yahweh, in Genesis 1:1, when it says, in the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. Well, that would obviously mean then Moses is God, wouldn't it? Well, of course not. It wouldn't mean that at all. Moses is God in a representative, belligerent, or lieutenant sense. As we'll see, the Bible does call elevated human beings God in the Bible. The judges of Israel, Exodus 21:6, are called Elohim. In Psalms 8:5, angels are called God. An Israelite king, Pat alluded to, is called God in Psalm 45, verse 6. And even false gods are called Elohim in Zephaniah 2, verse 11, and passages like that. And so, God is not as exclusive of a term as Trinitarian theology would like it to be. They would like it to be more exclusive. Pat would like it to be more exclusive, but it's not. It's not. It's rather similar to the word Father. In Matthew 6, verse 9, we're taught to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, right? But in James 2:21, the Bible says, Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works? Now, we can either equate Abraham and God as one being, maybe they share an essence or a nature, maybe Abraham's part of the Trinity, or we can say that Abraham is our father in another sense, then Yahweh is our father. And Yeshua can be called God without him being the one God. How do I know he's not the one God? Passages like Matthew chapter 16, where the very question that we're debating tonight was asked by Yeshua himself, the man we're debating about, when he looked at the apostles and said, Whom do men say that I am? They gave various answers. None of them were God. So he looked at Peter or the apostles and he said, Whom do you say that I am? What was Peter's answer? God? Did Peter put up all those scriptures? Or did he say that he was God, rather? Well, no. He said, Thou art the Christ, which means the anointed one, the Son of the living God. 1 Timothy 2, verse 5 is another one, where Yeshua is excluded from the one God position. When the Bible says, For there is one God and one mediator between men and God, the man, the Christ, Yeshua, it means what it says. We will see tonight, and I say this respectfully, who is trying to get around the passages and make the Bible say something that it doesn't? when there is a mediator between men and God, that mediator is not the men that he's mediating for, nor the one God that he's mediating to. But he is between. The word mediator in the Greek lexicon is defined as a go-between, one who intervenes between two. If anybody's ever been to mediation, you know what it's all about. Next chart. Chart number 33. This is Isaiah 9, verse 6. Of Yeshua being called the Mighty God, and I have no problem with that. Once again, this debate is not about, is Yeshua called God? It's not what the debate is about. It's about, is he the one God? Pat made mention, I don't understand why he did this, but he centered in on the fact that Yeshua was also called the Everlasting Father. You don't believe he's the Father, though, do you? Not God the Father, right? Okay, he's not God the Father, but yet he's called Everlasting Father. Now, a oneness Pentecostal would use this verse to prove that he was God the Father. They believe God the Father is the only God. Pat says, no, he's not God the Father. He is God, he's Father in another sense. Well, is that, that's all I'm saying when it comes to the word God. How do we know that he's not the Father? How do we know that Yeshua is not the Father? A passage like 2 John 1, verse 3. You need to write that down. Where it calls Yeshua the Son of the Father. The Son of the Father. That's how we know. If he's the Son of the Father, he cannot be the Father that he has. Now, I'm a father. I have children. But I'm a son of a father. I'm not my own father. But I am a father. But I'll never be my own father. And neither will Yeshua be his own father. And by the same exact logic, Yeshua will not be his own God ever either. If we go on the chart, Ezekiel 31, verse 11, uses the word El, which is the word used in Isaiah 9:6, El Gibor. It uses the word El of Nebuchadnezzar. Luke 16:24 calls Abraham father. So we see that just because people share the same title doesn't mean they're the same person. A priest of Yahweh was called Eli, 1 Samuel 1:9. Yahweh himself was called Eli when Yeshua was hanging on the cross. He said, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" He wasn't talking to himself. He was talking to his God. Both Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar is called King of Kings in Daniel 2:37. Yeshua is called King of Kings in Revelation 17:14. Yeshua is called the Light of the World in John 8:12, but his disciples are also called the Light of the World in Matthew 5:14. And so, just because two people share a title doesn't mean they're the same person. Yeshua is the Mighty God in the sense that all power has been given to him in heaven and in earth by his Father. Notice he's not always had all power. But it has been given to him, Matthew 28:18. By who? Obviously his Father. And we could say his God. His God gave it to him. Yeshua is the Father of eternity. Aviad is the Hebrew word used in Isaiah 9:6. It's better translated Father of eternity. And that means that he's the first man ever to be resurrected to eternal life. When he's the first of something, that means he's the father of something. In Genesis chapter 4, the Bible says Jabal was the father of those that play the flute and the harp. What does that mean? He was the first man to play the flute and the harp. He was the father of them. So we've got no problem there. In 2 Corinthians 11:31, the Bible says the God and Father of our Lord Yeshua the Christ. And so our Lord Yeshua the Christ cannot be the God and Father of our Lord Yeshua the Christ, can he? Well, absolutely not. It cannot be. Next chart. He mentioned titles in time. He said that Yeshua was everlasting. The Bible actually says in Micah 5, verse 2, that his goings forth are from everlasting. The word goings forth means family descent in the Hebrew language. We won't deal with the term everlasting right now, but we'll deal with the term goings forth. His family descent is from everlasting. Why? Because his daddy is God. That's his father. Yeshua is called the first and the last in Revelation 2:8. He always called the first and the last in Isaiah 44:6. But as we said, both Yeshua and his disciples are called the light of the world. Does that mean that his disciples are somehow him manifested in another form? No, it doesn't mean that at all. They share the same title in a different sense. He's the first and the last. He's the first, like I said, he's the first to rise from the dead. He's the last because he's a priest forever. He has an everlasting dominion, according to Daniel 7, verse 14. Chart number 32, next chart, Matthew 1:22-23, Emmanuel. This is one of the more predominant or prominent passages that's used to prove, as a proof text rather, that Yeshua is God. But Yeshua was born, and the prophecy of his name being called Emmanuel was fulfilled. The name Emmanuel has the meaning of God with us. But does this mean that he's God? Most people are not aware that the prophecy of Isaiah 7:14 was a singular prophecy with a dual fulfillment. The first fulfillment was in Isaiah's son. I won't try to pronounce that. But it's with Isaiah's son, Isaiah 8:1-3. And secondarily, he was named Emmanuel. And so not only did it find fulfillment later on, hundreds or thousands of years later, but it found fulfillment right then and there for Ahaz the king, if you read in context. And the same applies on a greater scale with Yahweh's own son. Through the birth of Isaiah's son, whom was secondarily named Emmanuel, through that birth, the people of Israel knew that God was with them. In Ruth 1, verse 6, you remember what Naomi told Ruth? She said, I've got to go back to my land, for God has visited his people. But how did he visit them? She said, in bringing them bread and bringing them food. That's how God visited his people. And God also visited his people 2,000 years ago when he sent his son. In Luke 7, it doesn't say that Yeshua was God, therefore he visited his people. No, it said that a great prophet has risen up among us. And they also said, therefore God has visited his people. Just like he gave Ruth or Naomi's people bread, food, he also gave the people of Israel a prophet, a mighty prophet. I'm absolutely not saying that Yeshua is a man just like you and I. His father is Yahweh. He was born of a virgin. We have an earthly father. He did not. Yahweh begot him. He didn't begot us. We're sons of God by adoption. He is by being begotten, I should say. Now, we can understand Matthew 1:23 with Acts 10:38, which says how God anointed Yeshua. Remember the story where Samuel was looking for a king and Samuel eventually anointed David? Now, we know that Samuel and David are two different people, don't we? One way we can tell is that Samuel anointed David. That's how we can tell. Well, this passage says God anointed Yeshua. Now, we ought to be able to tell just as easy a difference between God and Yeshua, Yahweh and Yeshua, as we can Samuel and David. It ought to be just as easy. But it's because of creeds and doctrines that have crept in after the Bible was written. Somebody made this up because they wanted Yeshua to be God for some reason or another. I don't know why. But the Bible definitely doesn't teach it. You know, the last part of Acts 10:38 says God was with him, speaking of Yeshua. 2 Chronicles 1:1 says God was with him, speaking of Solomon. Now, don't we all know what that means? Doesn't that mean God was with Solomon? In Genesis 21:20, it says of Ishmael, and God was with the lad. Don't we know what that means, that God was really with the lad? Or does it mean something else that's hidden in the text? Or does it really mean God was with him? Acts 7:9, God was with Joseph. And God was with Yeshua. Next chart, John 1:1. This will probably take up the remainder of my time. I will definitely not get to all these charts in this piece. And he knows that it's not because I'm avoiding them, but because I just don't have enough time. But we'll get to them. We always will the best we can. You know, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I've got no problem with that translation. No problem at all. But the word there, word, is logos in Greek. It is not son. People mistakenly think that it's son, but the Greek text does not use the Greek word for son. I can't pronounce the word properly. But it uses the word logos. In Luke 7, verse 7, it's translated word, but saying a word. Acts 10, 5, Acts 6, 5, 8. And the saying, please, the multitude. The saying, that's logos. Ephesians 6, 19. That utterance may be given. Utterance is word, is logos. This fits perfectly with the Bible. Psalm 33, 6 and 9. By the word of Yahweh were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. And isn't that what we've all learned when we grew up in church as a child in Genesis 1? That God said, let there be light. God said this, and God said that, and things came to be. Through his word, how can his word be with them, you might ask? From the book of Job, chapter 10, chapter 23, and chapter 12, the Bible talks about the things that Yahweh has appointed beforehand for Job are with him. The Bible talks about his word being with him. We may not use that speech in English, but Hebraic language uses those terms. Yahweh and his word are one and the same. I heard old-timers say before, my granddad and other people, a man is as good as his word, or a man's word is his bond. Are they talking about a separate person, the second person of the Trinity, which is basically what Matthew means. He believes that Yeshua is the second person of the Trinity. He's got no Bible verse that says that, but that's what he believes. The Bible emphasizes that he's the Son of God. It never says you have to believe that he's the second person of the Trinity. When Philip was talking to the eunuch didn't answer, well, I believe that Yeshua is the second person of the Trinity. And then Philip baptized him. No, that's not what happened. He said, I believe that Yeshua the Christ is the Son of God. Now, Pat, if he's the Son of God, then he cannot be God. He's the Son of God. He cannot be God. For that reason,
That might sound simple to you. That is fact. That is truth. Just like Pat believes he's the son of the Father, therefore he can't be the Father. It needs to be consistent with both uses. You know, John 1 is comparable to a play that exists in the mind of a playwright or house plans that exist in the mind of a carpenter. The play and the plans are a product of the person in whose mind they exist. When they are brought to fruition or completion, neither the play nor the house is literally that person, but products of that person's very thoughts, plans, words, etc. Yeshua is thus Yahweh's Word made flesh. He is Yahweh's Word made flesh. His very plan, his very thought. You know, the late professor of exegesis of Holy Scripture at the University of Oxford, G.B. Card, in his book New Testament Theology, put out in 1995, page 332, translated John 1, 1 and 2, verse 14, in this fashion. In the beginning was the purpose in the mind of God, the purpose which was God's own being. Verse 14, this purpose took human form in Jesus of Nazareth. Not all scholars agree with the Trinitarian dogma. But you know what? It doesn't matter to me how many scholars agree with it. I can say with Peter, when Yeshua asks me, who am I? I can look at him and say the exact same words that Peter said. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, flesh and blood have not revealed it to you, Peter, but my Father who is on earth knoweth all things. Thank you for your time.